Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. Mr. Rob is all set up on the other side of the glass, so we appreciate that. And we have Mr. and Mrs. Audience out there listening in our audience.
Well, there you go. Forgot you turn my microphone on again. Passive aggressive.
Now you
Lawrence.
Sit in here for an hour and you never touch that button. You just wait for me to forget to turn it up.
Well, you're on the other side of the table. You're running the controls today. I'll be happy to take that responsibility because you don't seem to be able to exercise it very well.
Whatever. Well, Friday, Ben Reichle will be at the catbird seat and Steve Kushaloff will be in the guest seat and I get to take the Friday off.
Well, that'll be nice for you.
Thank you. And everything will run flawlessly. And of course, Rob will glue
flawlessly. I hope so.
Flawlessly. And Rob will glue all the pieces together fabulously. I'm sure of that.
Well, Rob will have his hands full.
And they'll be arguing, I guarantee you that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's coming up. But today it is Joe and I, and we are going to be enjoying another argument. We have a lot of texts to sift through that relate to illegal immigration, and we have one email that relates to the cost of Medicare for All, and another one that says there's a few people around here who can't afford it. There's Pennsylvania millionaires all over the place, including one right across from me. So we'll be talking about that as the show progresses. So, and we would love to hear from you. Now, we're just wrapping our discussion up that related to illegal immigration yesterday. The general topic of it, how would you summarize our...
It was about the president's proposal to put illegal immigrants into sanctuary cities.
Oh, yeah, to dump detainees in places they don't belong. Okay.
No, no.
I gotcha.
We agreed yesterday gently placed would be the operable words.
And what is... so he says he's doing it because of vengeance to punish sanctuary cities.
He's
he does too.
He's saying, and I think rightly so, and, you know, everybody says these sanctuary cities were created because they are safer. They're much safer. So wouldn't we want to put these people in safe places?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure.
I wonder, is the employment situation in the same as urban areas as it is around here with a lot of jobs going wanting?
I don't know. I would suspect. But, I mean, I think that, you know, you look at California and places like that where they have homeless people living on the streets, even in Nancy Pelosi's district. We're talking about spending tons of resources to help illegal immigrants, and we're not spending tons of resources to help people who are our own citizens who are in dire need of some kind of help or support, whether it's mental health help or whether it's physical support or whether it's monetary support.
Is that the reason so many people are homeless? Is because the government hasn't helped them? I mean, a lot of people don't turn to the government when, you know, something goes wrong.
Look, I believe in personal responsibility. I think the great example of that is over the weekend, Tiger Woods. Here's a guy who had his whole world fall apart. He had everything on top of the world, if you will, had health issues, personal issues that were terribly public and embarrassing, but his health issues were even worse. I mean, he had back surgeries, all these other things, and here the guy claws his way back to become a champion again. Now, what is that? No, the government didn't help him. He wasn't the beneficiary of any program. What he was is a tough human being who determined to turn his life around and get back to where he once was, and he did it.
Well, you're saying that's what...
I'm saying personal responsibility counts for a lot.
Okay, so if you are homeless right now, shame on you for not being Tiger Woods. If you are living in a ghetto, and it seems hopeless because you haven't even seen a decent role model or mentor, except maybe on TV, shame on you for not pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. And let's see.
I love how you always turn everything I say around and make it sound like I'm some heartless if you soulless are, human being.
If you are an immigrant coming to the U.S. for a better life and find that the process of doing so legally isn't working, so you do so,
illegally, sure.
Shame on you.
Well, you got
should be
that
like
one
Tiger
right.
Woods.
You got one of them right.
Okay.
The last one.
Right. Well, I think desperation changes people. You would know nothing about it, but and I wouldn't either. I'm not, you know, saying that you're the mean person here. I think we both are if we say that we don't understand what it's like to be truly desperate in another country and to know that you're being sought out and that, you know, the political...
Well, is it our fault they came here?
Politic.
Did we tell them to come to our border and cross it illegally?
I don't think it is our fault. I think what it is human nature to try to seek a better life. I have no idea why that is. I haven't had to do it myself. You know, I mean, out from, you know, from the bottom. I've never been at the bottom of the economic rung. Even when I was a student, I there were places I could go to get a college student. There were places we could go for a free meal or something.
You're talking white privilege here?
No, I think it was pretty much open to everybody, okay. All faiths. So a lot of it was churches that gave out free meals to students who were having trouble making ends meet, myself included, when I was at Penn State. But in any event, all the way back around to what we're really talking about, I don't think many people know about Tiger Woods. And I think a lot of people, if they don't know about him, they can't be inspired by him. I don't think that people that are in dire straits, whether it's through health issues or poverty or, you know, being stuck in a country where there just isn't any economic opportunity, I don't think they see Tiger in them. Now, maybe if they spoke to you, you could pump them up and get them to see that. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, that Tiger did a fabulous job, and I certainly agree. It's beyond words.
But
you can't just say, well, why do we have such an illegal immigration? Why can't they all be like Tiger and pull themselves up by the bootstraps? He's black, too, you know.
Are you done? You going to take a breath?
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at, as seven people have done, at 70236, or one person seven times. I'm not sure which. We want to thank Terry at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Tyler at the Trutz Pharmacy, Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy for being the smartest people in the room everywhere they go. And they're the head pharmacists. Some of them are the owners. But all of them are super interested in super serving their customers in a super way. These pharmacies, some of them deliver. Some of them got the drug take-back boxes. All of them have private areas. They don't even have the little device where you take a number because you don't need it. You get personalized service. When they see you coming, they say, oh, thank you, Joe, for coming in. We got your baldness medicine right here, and we are going to be working. Or are you done with that? Do you take that anymore?
No, I don't take any baldness medicine, Mark.
Anymore. Okay.
And I haven't for 20 years.
Oh, come on. It's just an illustration. It's not meant to be realistic. You look marvelous. Just
the way
you are. I
said I tried Rogaine, but I had a crop failure. It didn't grow anything.
Okay. All right. Well, back in the day when it was necessary or when he was interested, that's the kind of thing you get at a hometown pharmacy. You get personalized treatment without the gentle ribbing that Joe and I delivered to each other on this program. They welcome you with open arms and would just love to see you. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg, Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg, and Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street, Lewisburg. They would just love to take super deluxe, extra wonderful care of you. Joe and I are talking about illegal immigration, the president's hard line, and Tiger Woods right at the moment. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phones.
I would say to you that I think almost anybody can make a difference in their own life. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
All right. So there are some people who just hit the wall and stop. Other people go around the wall, over it, above it, under it, whatever they have to do to succeed. Some people aren't motivated like that. So at what point does society step in? Do we have to measure what you have personally contributed to your own success or failure and then determine if you're worthy of help? Is there a one-size-fits-all in Marktopia where everybody gets a handout and we don't care whether they contribute anything to their own success or their own improving their own lot in life that doesn't involve them doing something illegal or infringing on other people's rights, other people's money, other people's right to try to be happy and try to live a good life?
Are we not examining how our help to people helps them? Or is that just an academic study that you might find on a college campus where we look at, aid to dependent children? We know that that directly benefits children. But other aid, does it create cycles of poverty or, sort of perpetual housing assistance? Does that create cycles of dependency on a handout?
Well, you know the old saw, the Democrats want to give you a handout, Republicans want to give you a hand up. You know, whether you believe that or not, I'm sure there are people on both sides who have similar opinions, whether it's hand up or hand out. But I think that our entire structure should be designed toward giving people an opportunity to improve their own life. And if we contribute something to it, we expect them to contribute as well. Now, how we measure that, I'm willing to concede, is up for debate. But there ought to be some examination made of people's circumstances and what type of help they need and what kind of advantage they take of the help they're given.
Did you have help from inspiring people along the way, whether you actually met them or whether they were in a book or you just heard about them?
Well, I had some teachers who put me, I think, on the right path and who were role models for me at a time in my life when I needed a positive role model. You know, I credit my 10th grade history teacher with putting me on the right track. I don't know whether he would want that credit or not. He's gone now. But
do some people have a shortage of role models?
Well, but, you know, even if you had no role model at all, you could determine for yourself whether your life is satisfactory, whether you are satisfied with Mark Lawrence as Mark Lawrence is today, or you want something better for Mark Lawrence.
Mm-hmm,
then you
mm-hmm,
go about
mm-hmm.
how do you achieve it? Do you choose a life of crime because that's the easy way? I'll just go in and stick up the grocery store here and come out with a few bucks and I can buy myself something nice. Or I can try and get some training and get a job and, you know, work my way up the ladder.
Perfect. But who instills that pivot point in their life? Who says, whoa, wait a minute. This is, you can go through with this robbery, or you can leave the store if you're already there robbing it, start the process of, you know, getting in a community college or changing your life or getting a job or whatever it happens to be. Where does that come from, that pivot? Because we know it happens to one or two people, right?
That's it, just one or two. Now, I can submit to you that there are a lot of people who pulled themselves up from dire circumstances in this country. And that's the beautiful thing about the United States of America. You have the opportunity to do that. Now, you could sit down in the mud and cry and say, I've been oppressed, I've been put upon, I've had terrible things thrown in my path, obstacles put in my path.
Keep robbing stores.
Or I can say, this country gives me an opportunity. There are programs here that I could take advantage of. But, you know, work is difficult. Some people don't want to do it. Some people don't want to take the time to improve their lot through hard work.
It's tedious.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, either one of us could have taken an easier path in life than the one we chose.
Look at if you didn't have to do the tedious supervision of me over the decades. You'd have years of your life back.
I would. Believe me, and I'd have hair on top of my head again.
There we go. Everything comes back around to the hair on our head. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We got one caller standing by. Thank you, Paul, for your patience. We're digging maybe it. Are we philosophical about this? This idea, really, if we're looking at illegal immigration and we've kind of morphed that into generating hope, instilling hope, inspiring hope, how's that going to happen? Does that happen? I mentioned sort of the ghetto poverty situation where maybe positive role models of the kind Joe talks about might not be in plain sight. Or is it just personal responsibility? People choose, that individual chooses to go back in that store time after time and rob it rather than...
Someone says to him, why don't you sell drugs for me? I'll pay a little extra, pay a little money to do that.
All right, yeah, so I don't know how we got
into
it.
We all make choices between right and wrong, good or bad, and whether or not we're on the right path or the wrong path.
All right, Joe and I are looking at the bigger picture. We have emails and texts pending and two callers standing by, so we'll take a quick break. We will be right back. Join the list of individuals who want to talk on the show at 1-800-795-9565. Join the list of individuals contributing emails at onthemark@wkok.com and join the singular list. It's one texter with busy thumbs, but we're going to read freedom on illegal immigration. And that's at 70236.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is a telephone number. Paul dialed that about 10 minutes ago. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. You guys are talking about migration and color, so I'd like to ask you one question. That question is, what country was Adam created, the first man, and did he migrate? And if he did, what color was he? And did he have any problems that you guys discuss?
I don't know. Where was the Garden of Eden? Maybe that would be a clue.
Credit Mesopotamia as being the birthplace
of civilization. Okay, so he'd have sort of an olive hue.
I would suspect.
Mediterranean dark hair. Short guy dark hair comes to mind. How about that?
Well, since God just created the two of them at the same time, he could have made them any color he wanted.
But did they have the same problems that you're discussing now?
They had no problems, Paul, except they were told not to eat off one tree.
Right. I don't think they had any dilemmas at all whatsoever. Abundance of food, peaceable cooperation with the animals.
But then the snake came along. So does that answer your question?
I know, but on the History Channel, they talk about things that they now found in Egypt that are over 3,000 years old. And if that being the case, we're only 2,000 years from the death of Christ. So how far did man advance, and did he eliminate his problems?
Now, man advanced considerably, creating new problems. We've solved all the old problems. You can live a lot longer, but is life better for many people? I mean, we've created
dilemmas. Did you stay up all night, Paul, think of this?
No, they come to me in the sense of David. And it was in a dream, only I call it a nightmare.
Yeah, we were going to...
Yeah, we agree with you on that one.
Sorry. Sorry, we couldn't resist.
I thought it was a product of some bad acid indigestion, frankly.
Or some bad acid.
I learned one thing. Don't drink coffee or have anything to eat before going to bed.
Yes. Good idea.
Sound advice. All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Lance from Herndon, PA. Thank you so much for calling in, sir. Did you get to that breakfast last weekend?
Oh, I sure did.
Good. Was that enjoyable for you?
Oh, yeah. Very fabulous.
Yeah, we're talking about the sort of bipartisan, calm discussion breakfast that takes place in Lewisburg every couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really nice. There was one fellow there who didn't think that the better angels would come off too good, and he was really surprised that there wasn't anybody throwing things, because he knew, I guess, some people on both sides that were there. Mm-hmm. And any time that they'd get together, look out.
It'd be tough.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the better angels? This is the Republican-Democrat discussion that was held on a Saturday morning about a month ago.
Well, what it did was to show you why whoever didn't think like you thought like they did. And that people could discuss that. I mean, no matter how far your opinion, diverged, that you could express it in at least a civilized way without compromising the way you felt.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and you enjoyed it? You thought that was a positive thing?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, fabulous. All right, so today...
But that isn't why you call.
Right. Today on the show, we're talking about individuals who are illegal immigrants. So where do they get hope? And I morph that into the same hopelessness that can be experienced by individuals in an inner city or...
And what do we do with them?
Or other situations?
Well, here, though, if you look at, well, like my own life, back when I worked for the railroad, we got a touchy-feely HR department, and we had all kinds of what were seemingly ridiculous meetings. But one of them was about how, you know, why are you who you are or whatever, okay? How you wound up where you are, let's put it that way. So, of course, I thought it was, you know, mostly your volition, which is what she said, that the way that you see yourself is what you're going to be. So, of course, I raised my hand, and I said, well, I can really relate to that one. I said, all I ever wanted to do was to be a mechanic from the time I was about 9 years old, and that's what I went for, and that's what I did. It was a friend of mine who we went to school. We had exactly the same grades. We liked the same stuff. We read the same books. Even the same girls liked us, okay? Now, today, I'm a mechanic, and he's a heart surgeon. Wow, the ultimate mechanic on the ultimate machine. He saw himself something different. So, immediately, it was the railroad cop. He was waving his hand. He says, I can do you one better than that. I said, really? He says, yeah. He said, well, we had the Three Musketeers when I went to high school. We got into the same trouble. All of our dads were steel workers, and mom was at home. We all went to church. We all, everything all raised the same way. He says, today, I never wanted to be anything but a cop. He was retired off of, I believe it was, the Allentown Police Force, and then got a job at Conrail as a Conrail cop. He says, well, he says, I'm what, you know, I wanted to be. He says, the other one guy is a brain surgeon. And the last I knew of my third buddy, he was homeless in Baltimore. So, you know, it is what we perceive ourselves to be. I mean,
just but like, the point you're making, whether you intended to make it or not, is that people who have equal starts don't always have equal outcomes.
That's right.
And whose fault is that? Is that society's fault? Is that something we must take responsibility for? We must adjust the playing field and take that one who became homeless and lift him up and put him in a place that he didn't earn or he didn't work for? Or do we try to find him some sort of temporary help to get him back on the right path?
Give him inspiration and hope.
Well, the thing is, some of those guys...
He had that to start out with, Mark.
Okay.
Some of those folks don't want it. Some of those folks are actually there because it's an easy way to live.
They're being homeless.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we have them right there in Sunbury. I was, see, when I go out someplace, I sort of have that homeless look, you know. And really, I've been mistaken for a homeless.
Have you met Lance yet, Joe?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But you've told me he has a beard. So any bearded person I think are you Lance?
Faded denim coveralls and a nice warm flannel shirt and his shoes are leather. But
sounds like a mechanic.
They're
to
not
me.
Brand new. Let's just leave it at that. They don't leak, but they're not brand new.
Well, anyway, remember back when all the homeless guys had their shopping carts?
Yeah.
I was at Aldi's. And I had some stuff, and I didn't have too many things. I had them in the cart, and there were two managers watching me go across the lot to make sure I was taken into a car. And that's really what they were looking for.
Make sure you didn't steal their shopping cart.
Yeah.
Oh, they thought you were going to live in it.
Yeah. But that's the way
live
I feel
out
about
of
it.
I don't think you live in a shopping cart. You live out of one.
Live in or out of it. Okay, good.
There are people who have terrific talent and waste it. I mean, don't really go and tune it and tweak it to its nth degree and go, even where you have more opportunity.
Well, look at Ben Carson. What if he says, what if I had decided that contentment was okay? Being content where I was was fine. He never did. He seemed to always have this quest that he talks about. And now he's still in his health and human services?
Yes. Okay. He's not going yet.
He's not fired yet.
Not fired yet, no.
He's going to go against the president one day, and that'll be that.
I don't think so. They really think alike. They really do.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I agree. Yep, they are very dismissive of many, many people. All right. Thank you so much, Lance.
You bet.
Thank you very much, Lance, one of our good listeners.
You know, it's like our callers yesterday. I mean, Than said, you know, people insult him, and then he calls the president old orange hair or whatever it was. You know, we have a lot of intolerance in this country. We have a lot of people who have very firm opinions about how others should live their lives and what they should do and how we should take care of them or how we should not take care of them. But the bottom line is that this country does offer you the opportunities. I don't care whether you're red, black, white, yellow, Muslim, Catholic, Jew, Protestant. You have opportunities in this country. And you can find ways to take advantage of them and improve your lot in life.
It's a little easier in the U.S. than in other countries. Every country has something, right?
But that opportunity only exists as long as we maintain the balance within this country. If we open up the doors to unfettered illegal immigration, all of our systems are taxed to beyond endurance. And I think that was the idea behind the president saying, I'd like to put these folks who are coming here into sanctuary cities. Something has to wake them up to the fact that we have to do something to make sure that legal immigration continues, but illegal immigration is stopped. Whether that's a wall or a barrier or whatever it is, we've got to do it so that we can preserve this country and its goals and its ambitions for all of us.
And some of the countries have said, we welcome them. We'll bring them here.
Germany said that. Look at what happened there.
Give them jobs and turn them into Democratic voters. So we hope that works out, too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a dog's breakfast of emails and texts. We'll read those. Then we're going to talk about AOC versus the president. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mr. Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. And Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo is the clackety clacker in chief over in the newsroom. We're going to do news headlines in a moment, but first we'll introduce the show in general. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as four individuals have done, and we'll look at those in the hour ahead. You can text us at 70236, as seven individuals have done, or one person seven times, either way, and we'll read those texts on the air. First news headlines, a few thousand people around here, up to 4,000 or so, still don't have electricity. PPL says about 3,200 customers still without power in Columbia County, 500 in Montour County, 600 in Northumberland County, 160 in Snyder County, and 140 in Union County. They say they've brought in hundreds of PPL-type workers from around the country to converge on the Ohio Valley into western Pennsylvania, across central Pennsylvania into the southern tier of New York in order to get electricity restored. As you heard on CBS, there were tornadoes as part of this storm. Nine people died from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic coast. 40 tornadoes on nine states, including two here in central Pennsylvania, one in Union County, and the other in Columbia County. We still have some closed roads because of trees down. Mexico Road in Montour County, Flint Valley Road in Snyder County, Montour County's Caseville Road, Century Road, Little Roaring Creek Road, Mexico Road, and Strick Road, and Columbia County sections of Route 42 and some other rural roads still listed as closed after those strong storms. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has won a Pulitzer Prize for breaking news for its coverage of the mass shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue. The judges called the staff's work immersive, compassionate coverage that captured the anguish and resilience of a community thrust into grief. After the Pulitzer announcement Monday, the newsroom observed a moment of silence for the 11 victims of the October 27 massacre at Tree of Life Synagogue. The newspaper said the executive editor, Keith Burris, commented that the prize was an affirmation of the value of members of his news staff doing their job, doing a sacred duty. Now retired executive director David Schreibman led the newspaper's coverage. Their paper reports, he told the newsroom, we're not as much celebrating as simply affirming the job that we were put on this earth to do. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette last won a Pulitzer in 1998 for spot news photography. And a suburban Milwaukee middle school gym teacher has been placed on indefinite leave while district officials look into claims that she separated students in one class by race and assigned the black children to research games that enslaved children played. Superintendent Brian Davis wrote in a letter to parents that the Shoreward Intermediate School teacher was instructing seventh graders about games from around the world on April 7th when she allegedly gave the assignment to the black students. Davis didn't name the teacher. He said the school district launched an internal investigation because it's committed to providing an environment of inclusion. Davis said school officials, including a counselor and a psychologist, are providing support to the affected students. All right, let's sift through some emails. One individual sent us a note. This is signed by Than talking about illegal immigration.
And I said, who asked them to come here? We do, with a note on the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
Of course, that was written 200 years ago, or 150 years ago. May not be relevant today.
Well, and even when it was posted there, there was a pretty extensive screening process, correct?
Yes. Well, Ellis Island, back in those days, you could pretty much come here. If you had health issues, you were turned away.
Okay.
But other than that, we were trying to build the country at that point.
All right, so you needed people to work.
Right.
All right, next up.
All right, Sanders' Medicare for All plan would raise income taxes on people earning over $29,000 a year by 4%. Here's his plan on his Senate website, and then there's a link to this senator's website. I noticed last night he did do a town hall with Martha McCallum and Brett Baer on Fox. And, I got to give the guy high marks for being willing to do that, go into the lion's den, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But he spent most of the time complaining about Fox News and completely deflecting the questions they asked him.
For example, us your tax return. Well, I guess we know now he's a millionaire a couple times.
Yeah, they asked him about being a millionaire and, you know, how he got there, you know, and he said, well, let's get Donald Trump up here and see his tax returns.
Why is he a millionaire if he's just a senator?
Well, he wrote some books, and I didn't hear. I think they were trying to pin down where all his wealth came from. I don't know that they ever successfully did that.
Okay.
But he did pay. He paid his taxes, you know, a good citizen does. Right. You know, so he has the right to earn that amount of money. But I think they ask him, you know, how can you say capitalism doesn't work? Look at what you were able to achieve. And then, of course, he deflected that question, too. So he's a pretty he reminded me of the Artful Dodger, if you remember that from literature.
Well, there's a lot of that going around.
Oh, yeah, politically all the time.
All right.
Okay, and we have a ton of texts. Did you get rid of them?
Well, yeah, those come in a moment. We got another email.
Okay. Surprising story about PA millionaires by county. Pennsylvania has more millionaires, but they're not all where you'd expect them to live. Snyder County has 13 millionaires. Union County,
20. Get out of here. 13.
13.
Well, one of them sits across from me.
Oh, right.
Who are the rest of them?
My other members of my family.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't know who they would be. I don't know who all 13 would be. Union County has 29. Northumberland County, 21. Lycoming County, 53. Columbia County, 28. Center County, 107. But none of them live in Mifflin County. We need to send a few to Mifflin County.
What about Montour County? Half them docs are millionaires because they...
Well, odd that Montour County isn't on here.
Exorbitant Geisinger salaries.
Although maybe it's... apparently this is a link to a Penn Live story. Maybe we can find Montour.
Yep, it's good. It's blinking. It's already good to go.
Maybe we can find Montour County here. But it sometimes takes a long time to get down to where they...
Oh, there you go.
Where? Okay, you see Montour?
Well, there's the whole county. Keep going. Up,
okay,
top.
Okay, Montour.
Mouse over Montour.
18. Okay. Worth a total of $40,513,590. The average Montour County millionaire has $2,250,755.
Well, we are between presidents at Geisinger, but he was a millionaire.
Well, you know, Center County, my gosh, they have 107. They're worth $222 million.
There's Penn State and a lot of big research firms out there.
Right. Now, Snyder County's 13 are worth a total of $23,713,000. That's $1,824,000.
I wonder who they are.
I don't know.
Do you want to name some out loud we think might be?
I think we could get into trouble doing that.
I think
that.
So, yeah. They'll probably be irritated.
All right. So, well, there are a lot of
Bob will be irritated if I name them out loud.
I wonder how many, out of curiosity, how many are in Philadelphia? 977 millionaires in Philadelphia. And in Allegheny County,
ooh, boy, 1,937.
Boy, there are more millionaires in Allegheny County than there are in Philadelphia.
That's crazy.
All right. Well.
All right. Thank you for that clipping to the young lady who sent it to us. One other email briefly here. Oh, let me do it this way. No, that won't work. There you go.
Right.
On the topic of illegal immigration.
Right, and this fellow is responding to Than. He says we should be nice to the illegal immigrants and bless them into our sanctuary cities. So if I rob the Shamokin National Bank and go to Philadelphia, should I not be apprehended? I'm then an illegal person.
Care to elaborate, Joe?
Oh, well, I was kind of cut off a little bit there and when I couldn't hear, but I did want to... said I wanted to call because late in the day yesterday you got a call from I'll just say
Than.
A guy.
Than.
Who,
use his name. Come on.
Than. Okay. I didn't know if you had a rule. Some people say I can't mention somebody's name. Okay. Yeah, when Than called, it was a very interesting conversation, I'll say that much. When Than, over the years or year I've been listening, he says about how he detests the name-calling by Donald Trump. And yesterday he was going to quote Trump or something about, and he said Donald. Then he said, well, let's call him Fat Donnie. And Joe mentioned a little bit, but he didn't have quite the quote. I even had a technological breakthrough and went to your podcast and listened to it again to believe my ears that Than would call someone, even the President of the United States, such a name as Fat Donnie. So I think Than, with all his knowledge, and boy, he says how he reads, and Joe reads the wrong stuff, he come to a good conclusion. Actually, I would say the president is overweight and he was fat, so that's a good name. I think around my friends and anybody I'll talk to now, with Than's great knowledge, I'll call him Fat Donnie from now on.
But you're fat.
But other than that, I thought Joe handled himself well towards the end of the conversation, you know, just, but I'm on the immigration thing. I'm confused if Mark, do you want a secular government or one that is influenced by religious beliefs?
I would like
you have to take a side sometimes to keep the conversation going. I'm not, you know, going to deny you that. That's the show, but,
good question.
I'm not sure, because you had said even in that conversation that the Bible is full of, you know, what we should do about immigrants and people coming to the, you know, moving around, you know, such as migration.
Well, I think that people's faith should guide their decision-making in government. You know, much like you think of Vice President Pence often talks about and draws on his faith when he's talking about political issues and governmental issues. And I think that's fully appropriate that people use their faith. We've talked to Fred Keller, you know, his faith was perfectly...
Our melting pot, wouldn't that offend people of other faith or no faith, like especially... an atheist. If you're saying that we should use the Bible as a reference about how to treat migrants, a person who has no respect for the or has no willingness or understanding, why would you use that? I mean, we can't offend anybody. We're
human,
a melting pot.
Human so, compassion and dignity, maybe.
Not in the government. No, we put people in jail. You know, so, I mean. You know, I don't know. We have to do that, but you know, another question. So how does the immigration are the laws set in place for the betterment of the country or the betterment of the immigrant?
The betterment of the country.
It
should be the betterment of the country.
There, because the first, what is kind of known as the first immigration law in the United States was under Chester Arthur in 1882. But there were some laws, and before that it was kind of a state's issue. You know, if you were a port in Philadelphia. You did that all yourself. So it when people migrated and we've seen different people coming in, it got to a federal issue, you know. So they passed some laws, which is, you know. So is it for the betterment of the country or the betterment of the immigrant?
It should be for the betterment of the country.
But I think they're a little both mixed in there. There's protections for immigrants, you could say.
Well, but I agree that. But if you look at the first, if you look at that act, the Immigration Act of 1882,
actually it was called the Chinese Exclusion Act.
that was a little bit after that.
No, that was May 6th.
I'm not sure if that's included, but
yeah, that was
this
May
one does refer to that.
It was May 6th, 1882.
Act of 1881, but this one says. It says people coming to America, including criminals, insane, or any persons unable to take care of him or herself. So, I mean, it was, and if you came in on a ship and the government seen that you were not, you know, one of those, because this is the first one that excluded people. Now, I know what you're saying about the Chinese Act for that was more or less two times before.
No, actually, that was the first one. It was the first significant law restricting immigration in the United States.
Yeah, he agrees with you.
Right. So this is what they kind of is the first one that excludes in this way, other than a nationality. This prohibits people from coming in with conditions, like if you're a criminal. But it does say not if you're a political criminal, which we still kind of honor today with refugees. I understand that. But it's the exclusionary part of it, other than like for a nationality, because the Chinese were, you know, kind of a threat. Not that we understand it today, but so, well, I just wanted to get a little something about, you know, if
all
it
right.
is the immigrant, but originally. You could see how they would. What I was going to say about if it was coming in on a ship, that the people who owned the ship were responsible for that person's return to where they started from, if it was England or Australia or whatever.
Yeah, how did the rejects get back? Good question.
Look,
okay,
Emma
Joe.
Lazarus, quickly, I know I'm running out of time. Emma Lazarus' poem is not our is not the law of the land. That was put on the Statue of Liberty much later too. It wasn't originally with the Statue of Liberty. But anybody who thinks that the poem has anything to do with our legal immigration laws is a little out there.
You got that right.
You
are right.
Gotcha.
Actually, it was the Chinese immigration law was a 10-year absolute ban on Chinese laborers coming to this country to work.
Why?
Well, because they felt there was a glut of them. They were just bringing them in to build the railroads, and there were just too many here, and they were taking jobs away from Americans. And Chester A. Arthur signed the bill. Congress passed it, supported by both Republicans and Democrats, by the way.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. We got one caller waiting. We're going to read the string of texts in a moment. We'll be right back.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
All righty, talking illegal immigration and the president versus humanity.
Right. And one of our texters yesterday had this comment to Than. It was toward the end of the program. Okay, Than, how about the empathy for the citizens and taxpayers of this country? Where's your empathy for them? We have a process for immigration, and these people violate that process daily. What about the rule of law? Than, what's wrong with that? Build the wall and send all illegals to the sanctuary cities. Than, your TDS is showing. That's a response to yesterday. Another texter says, the 10th Amendment doesn't apply to immigration. That is strictly the federal government's job and only the federal government's job. And then with respect to adding religion into the mix and about Christians supposedly not being, or people say they're Christians not being empathetic enough, if you will, toward immigrants. Nice throwing religion around when you want it to apply to illegal immigrants, yet not about abortion. Why is that? And then to you, fraud, Mark. It's fraud. Illegal aliens can't legally assimilate into a society when they are committing fraud. Simple solution, deport all people here illegally.
Bobby, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. Mark, did your father come from Germany, or was he born here? Because my grandparents came from Germany.
Yeah, my grandparents.
But I mean, okay, as far as immigrants came, but, you know, my grandparents came, my great-uncle came, and, of course, they ended up being citizens and stayed here. And I have a friend down in the Washington, D.C. area who is from England, and then her husband was from Czechoslovakia, but both of them stayed in the United States. And she's still here at age 80, I believe, and she has contributed, you know, to everything in owning property and paying taxes and all that, and yet she's not allowed to be a citizen because of a test or something. But yet, you know, some of the immigrants or people that come here stay here and contribute to the economy or to the United States.
Right, but
so
they're
I think,
legal.
You know, we ought to look at that, but have more of a screening process of what jobs we have available, whether it's medicine, whether it's farming, or whether it's entertainment or whatever, and just kind of change the policy a little bit.
So only the best of the best can come in.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, what a job? I mean, you know, any company is going to look for workers. So this way of maybe allowing allowing a certain amount of immigration for the economy economy of the United States.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you,
Chris. Next up on the mark, we're talking illegal immigration, compassion,
yeah,
human dignity,
Christianity,
hope,
and compassion, and. I don't think anybody is offended by Christian compassion. I am offended by Christian dogma.
Okay.
And supporting having to support Christian schools for that.
Chris, there's something wrong with your phone or our connection. It's crackling a lot. Is it?
Is it crackling now?
Yeah, it is. You want to try calling
back?
Oh, call right back. We'll hold on to it. Call us right back.
All right. Thank you. 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. In your imagination, go to sunburymotors.com, click on Build a Ford, get your new Ranger set up with a 6-foot bed and double set of seats and a power rear window and a sunroof that covers both the front seat and the back seat, and it's, of course, got four-wheel drive, got electrical outlets back in the bed. It's got lots of tether and tie-down situations, things, and tailgate has a sort of a counterweight and a step on it so you can step up into the bed, and it has anti-collision device, automatic collision avoidance braking, and so that's my vehicle. It's all set for me, and it's only about $40,000. And I'm going to trade in my truck, and we're going to have a good deal there. So they take good care of you. But guess what? Your dream vehicle is there, too, whether it's a Ford, a Hyundai, a Kia, or a Lincoln. They can build a car or truck to your precise specifications. Half the time when you do that, they have your vehicle already on the lot. And all they got to do is hook you up, and they'll be more than happy to do so. The Sunbury Motor Company, check them out at sunburymotors.com. Chris, you were saying?
Yes,
Perfect. Much better.
Know, Christians seem to the the anti-abortion crowd seems to believe that all money is fungible when it comes to Planned Parenthood, but when it comes to Christian schools, all money is not fungible.
Fungible?
That it all goes to the same spot.
Okay.
Specific things. For instance, the schools get money from the federal government for transportation, or the state government, depending on which it is, the books and things.
Okay.
And but when it comes to Planned Parenthood, they say all money is fungible, and any money that goes to Planned Parenthood is actually supporting abortions. So that's something to think about. Now, as for immigration, if you want to do something for the people who are causing the problem, maybe you should take them all to Trump's golf courses and set up 10 cities for them.
Well, he doesn't want any
illegal immigrants. He's not responsible for them coming, Chris. Why should he bear any of the responsibility?
Oh, he certainly is.
How so?
His policies.
His policies are to tell them to stay home, stay where they were.
Yes, he's threatening to end it all the time, but he doesn't, so people come before he does end it all officially. It's increasing the effect. Plus, he intentionally closes down processing of immigrants in order to create lines and chaos at the border. The chaos at the border has been created by Trump, because that's what he does.
So you don't believe these people are clogging the system up on their own. You believe it's Donald Trump who's caused the system to be clogged?
I say he's slowed down the system so that it would be clogged.
We slowed it down to keep it from being...
to speed up the system to unclog it.
Well, what good would speeding up the system do? It would just be putting more people, illegal people, into the lines ahead of people who are here illegally.
What do you mean illegal people?
Well, people who are crossing the border illegally. You're talking about those who are caught and captured?
The ones who come to the border and ask for asylum are not illegal, Joe.
No, you're missing my point.
You're missing mine because
I understand what you're saying.
Admit that. That's who we're talking
about.
No,
but I do admit that.
At the border.
I do admit that, but not all the lines at the border are people who are claiming that they are in need of protection. There are people crossing the border illegally who are jamming up the system.
There are, but those aren't the people... Those aren't the people that are asking for sanctuary.
Well, the question becomes whether those asking for sanctuary actually believe they earned it or merit it, or whether they are just using that as an excuse instead of saying the actual reason.
Matter?
Huh?
What's that matter?
Well, it does matter, Chris. If I say
they have the right to ask
me a question.
You have the right to judge.
They have the right to ask for it if they are truly in jeopardy or have a problem. But many of them, according to the people I've seen on television who are the immigration folks at the border and the ICE agents or the other people at the border, are saying that many of them are making claims that are not true.
Well, that they're making claims that are not true, and they get rejected, 80% of them, from what I understand.
But what do we do with them in the meantime?
The people that are getting into the...
But, Chris, what happens to them when they make that claim, whether it's true or not?
It's not illegal to ask for sanctuary. It might be illegal if you lie about it on a form after you ask for it.
But you're not answering my question. What happens to them?
Okay, what is your question?
My question is, they come and they make this false claim. What happens to them? We don't throw them out. We have to investigate their claim. We tie up the system. We spend resources investigating their claims, and then we ultimately reject them. That's slowing down the system, not President Trump.
He's not doing sufficient resources to do anything about it, and he's intentionally slowing it down.
He's asking for resources.
Originally,
he's asked for resources, but the Democrats haven't given him anything.
Joe,
you know he's asked for resources. He's asked for money for a wall, which you don't like.
He asked for resources to speed up the system at the border, and who has rejected that?
He's asked for additional judges. He's asked for additional money. He's asked for more places to put people. And yet the Democrats will not come to the table.
Do I see a bill that's been acted on?
No, it has to start in the House, and where's Speaker Pelosi?
The Senate's perfectly capable of getting bills on those subjects.
Okay, what about Senator Pelosi?
And he also had 2 years to do it, he was not interested in ginning up the immigration issue or doing anything about it until he lost the House. Doesn't that tell you something?
I think he was working on immigration long before the Republicans lost the House.
But what bills were proposed or voted on?
Where the Democrats haven't provided anything, have they? It can't
go anywhere without the Democrats.
They
had a handshake deal on immigration, and Trump backed out of it. The Senate Republicans had agreed to it too.
And he offered the Democrats.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
He offered the Democrats a deal that would have kept the Dreamers.
He's a lousy negotiator, and he goes back on his word. That makes it very difficult.
He offered the Democrats a deal that would have included the Dreamers, and Chuck Schumer backed away from it.
All right, wrap it up, Chris.
I think you're overstating the situation a little bit there, Joe.
Well, I don't think so, Chris.
Yes, all right. Yes, you are, Joe.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you
so much for calling in. Study up on the issues a little bit.
And you too, my friend.
Yes.
Jeez. Both of you and your retirements bone up on this topic. One of our listeners says the so-called asylum seekers are being spoon-fed the words and phrases to claim asylum so they can get released into the country. This is more fraud being aided by the left. Cindy, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
I think in listening to this discussion, it's occurred to me that we should change our asylum law to be an invitation rather than a demand. So you must be invited to have asylum in our country rather than you come knock on the door and demand admission.
How would that work, Cindy?
I think that the government would evaluate the circumstances in specific countries, and then if they find merit in the situation, invite people in those specific areas to present their cause for admission. Hmm. But it would have to be by invitation, not by you come up and knock and it becomes my problem to turn you away.
Interesting idea.
And it's easy enough to evaluate the socioeconomic and other situations in any country today with all the technology that we have in place. And it would put a halt to this because there is no warranted situation in Central America that provides for this level of illegal immigration. Truth be told, when they cross into Mexico, they're now in a safe place. Let's assume they really are in great danger, right? Well, the truth be told, once they get into Mexico, they're not.
True.
So it is not about seeking asylum from great danger because they've already enjoyed that for whatever the length of Mexico is. I don't know. I'm guessing about 1,000 miles. And they've spurned that. So clearly that's not the motivation involved. Obviously they have a different agenda. I think it's pretty clear when you listen on these news reports, they interview the actual immigrants, not people posturing about what these folks are about, but the actual immigrants. I heard one woman say she wants her children to get an education in America. That is not an asylum issue. Another person talked about they want the economic opportunities, a job here in America. That, again, is not something that we provide asylum because you don't have a job that you like in your country. That is not warranted. I think the other thing to reflect upon when we often talk about the changing of policies about immigration in our country is that it's only really in recent years, in our lifetimes, that we've created a social support system, right, that is such an enormous burden to taxpayers. And then those people who are admitted as immigrants enjoy those benefits. So we've that in its own, when you talk about people who came before, you had to be able to support yourself. You couldn't just come up and demand admission and then say, put me on the system. You couldn't do that. And we have deviated far afield from that. It's, you know, people talk about how for women with children, you would need a $60,000 a year job to equal the benefits that you receive from the social system, which has created a problem that people have to have a sophisticated education to rationally stop receiving all the benefits, and it therefore encourages them to remain dependent. So I think that's another thing to consider, that we've created a system and then allowed these folks to use it that actually, sure, I'm sure it's more lucrative. If you were living on $10,000 a year in, you know, Cindy, the country of Cindy, but if you can just get your foot into Mark, you're... what you get.
Joe's wanted to do that a couple times.
60,000 if you go to Joeville, really? You get 100,000. Is it any surprise that people decide to move there? But the question is, where then does that money come from? And can the people, you know, in our country today, I thought that Mr. Sanders was, or Senator Sanders was, compelling yesterday in the things that he talked about in that
town hall.
That 90% of Americans are not well off. We operate under an illusion, I think. And those, it's ironic that those people who are in the higher socioeconomic status, right, they believe in this generosity at the expense of their neighbors who are not. I just find that ironic. That nothing stops them from getting out their checkbook and writing checks to benefit all of these people. But instead, they want to burden their neighbors with the obligation.
Forced compassion. I don't follow that.
I think that's immoral. If I believe in something, it's up to me to write my check to pay for it, to provide my time in support of it, not to demand that you do it.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate the call. Al, stand by. We will be right back.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public. Now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Super patient Al. He's very busy, but he was willing to wait. So we appreciate that. Good morning, sir. Happy Holy Week. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Joe and Mark. Anyways, international law on immigration is for asylum seekers is the first country of origin that is safe is where you seek asylum. You can't pick and choose your country. The ones from Central America, first country safe, and for that would be Mexico. When they pass one through Mexico and go to the United States, that's reason right there that you don't have to admit them on the asylum.
So Mexico is safe and has opportunity, and
Mexico
better than the U.S.?
Mexico is safe and has opportunity. They're still on that list.
Well, I think you can make the argument, though, Al.
They offered them jobs and visas.
But I think you can make the argument, Al, that because of the drug cartels operating in Mexico and the fact that there have been instances where American citizens have been harmed in Mexico, that maybe it isn't that safe.
Well, it's still on, you know, it's still the country that they have to go through that would eliminate them for asylum for this country if you went by the laws.
Right.
And if we went by all our laws and everybody went by the laws, everything would always be hunky-dory. But you can't have people going and breaking the law and coming in here and draining us. You know, it's like going to the, you know, open your house up and let everybody come in and eat in your kitchen and then your pantry's empty and nothing left to for your family. You know, there's nothing left for your family, and that's what you went to work for, and that's, you know, your house. And now there's nothing left for your family because you just had a kind enough heart to let anybody in there and eat and give them all the food they wanted at your house, and now you don't have anything left. You just can't sustain it. You might be able to do it for a while, but it's unsustainable. And that's why we had to make all these laws, so we can preserve our way of life and liberty.
Well, you're making the point I made earlier. You're making the point I made earlier. That's exactly the case. If we allow our institutions to be overwhelmed by people who have made no contribution to our society, then we're depriving our own citizens.
Like
right, we're depriving our own citizens of things that they should be entitled to.
Yeah, and that's what Cher said the other day on, you know, Sonny and Cher.
Right.
That's the way I know him. But Cher was asked, she's in a sanctuary city, and she was all for that. And they said, okay, now we're going to send them to your city, Cher. And she tweeted out, oh, my God, we got enough of our own homeless people and people that need help. How can we support any more? Now, okay. I mean, they're coming to their own sense. I mean, that's sense. She came to her own senses where she was soft on immigration and bring them to my city. And so we wanted to send a bunch of them to her city. And she said, oh, my God, what about the ones we have that need the help here, that deserve the help, that maybe were a citizen at one time or had their families at least be a citizen that contributed?
Well, she changed the next day. She tweeted out something negative about President Trump after agreeing with him. So
Al,
she's back on track.
Yeah. President Trump isn't in control of himself. I told you what's going on there.
Al, would you say you are a person of great faith, average faith, or no faith?
Great faith.
What does your church...
That's all that sustains me.
What kind of guidance does your church give on this topic?
Well, we're big on the abortion, and Trump wants to get rid of it, so we're all about him.
Okay, and on the topic of immigration?
We're behind him on that. The abortion is the only real topic in the world today.
Okay.
You can take it right from the beginning of your show.
And yet your call was on another topic.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere. But
so we're going to work up to abortion.
I can't be harping that all the time. You probably won't let me on after a while.
No, I think it fuels quite a few good discussions here.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Al.
Good luck. Enjoy the rest of your week. Very much appreciate it. Email, please.
Mike Bolick says, back in the early 1990s, my nephew-in-law moved here from Honduras. He had to be sponsored by a U.S. citizen, even though he was married to an American, to be granted time to stay here to find work and become a citizen. The sponsor would be responsible for any welfare not my nephew-in-law would have been eligible for and collected. So, yes, I would say the rules have become far too liberal. And I think that's a good point. One, if you want
to
sponsor somebody, right, you take care of them, not society. So that's fair.
All right. Another listener on the topic of immigration.
Okay. Dave on the Hill says, I find it strange with all these thousands of people from Central America coming here, we don't hear anything from the leaders of these countries from which they flee. You would think the loss of taxpayers and workers would have them very worried about their own future. That's an excellent point.
All right. 1-800-799.
Remember, the Russians built a wall around Berlin and Germany to keep the people in because
right.
too many workers were leaving.
Right. Yeah, you'd think maybe Honduras would build the wall. Well, they must not have the money to build the wall in Honduras or Guatemala or Central or
Panama probably
or
so,
other Mexican countries.
They may be so corrupt down there that they're saying, oh, well, that's more for us if these people leave.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back. We're wrapping up our discussion about immigration, illegal immigration, U.S. compassion, Catholic compassion, which is very marked, but apparently unbeknownst to one of our good callers. So we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle? Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia. The second annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade. Plus save $4,500 on a 2019 Kia Sorento LX. Now just $26,415. A 2019 Kia Optima S has $4,000 in savings. Now only $22,910. And SMC is still offering a $99 a month lease on a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just 36 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's the second second annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Offers expire 4/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Just announced. Free bingo Tuesday night and DJ Choices Bingo.
That's right.
Tuesday night, it's free bingo for everyone and free tricolor paper package for all. Payout start at $40. Hit on the purple and win $250. Electronic bingo and progressive jackpot available. And now, Plinko 2. Free bingo Tuesday at DJ Choices Bingo, 28 Silver Moon Lane, Lewisburg. Doors open at 4:30, bingo at 6:30. Benefits, opiate prevention in schools, small games of chant and bingo license on file.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. We got 2 1-minuters lined up. We'll start with Paul. You get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
Okay. Man has a way of solving his own problems. When overpopulation overrides opportunities, he has a war. It's been going on for thousands of years. And even animals run into the same thing. When the population gets to the point that where they can't feed or they can't do anything, they start killing each other off until they reach a workable number.
A balance. All right. So is that what we
so
should
do?
So
you're suggesting we kill the immigrants, Paul?
We should mow over Central America?
No, it's not that we kill the immigrants, but you will find that there will be a war, either in the opportunity, the food, or whatever it is. You will have a war, and when the population gets to the point where it can work, it'll start to work itself back to being overpopulated.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks
Rather
for the call.
Grim prediction, though.
Cindy, please enlighten us again.
Joe, you hit the nail on the head about the population issue. I believe that these cities, these sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, are seeking these immigrants because it raises their census. And what does that mean for them? Well, the more people you have, the more federal dollars you get, the more power you have in Congress. So if it's highly motivational for them, many of these areas have seen a depopulation. Philadelphia's population declined by 25% from the 70s until recently. So no wonder they need people, and they are willing to, and it doesn't matter whether you're here legally or illegally, or what your immigration status is, it's a head count. And as a head count, they get more money.
Well, as the Philadelphia mayor says, his town has a significant population of legal immigrants. And to those people, individuals who came in the U.S. are drawn and they form communities. He doesn't want to break up those communities. He says they have reached some sort of an equilibrium when it comes to obeying other laws while they're here and getting jobs and paying some taxes. So he doesn't want to disrupt those communities. So that's
sure. So whether they are driving without a driver's license, which you can't get if you're illegal, or driving a car without registration or
yeah, I
insurance,
think
again,
some of the people apparently find a way around that. They apparently
not paying,
find a,
the wages,
find a way
they have
to live.
Pay wages, taxes, they're not doing that. I mean, it's
no, some are, some aren't. Some are and some aren't. Yeah, you're right. Some are scoff laws across the board. All
yes,
right, we got
I'm
you,
not
Cindy.
Saying it's just illegal immigrants that do that, but they do do it. They do it by necessity. They can't get a work card.
Right.
Thank you.
And some of them have fraudulent cards, too. We know that to be true.
Well, it's, you know, there's always a fraud in any system. There was just a story you sent me this morning about Pennsylvania law worried about violations and fraud that our Medicare or Medicaid system, whatever that Pennsylvania medical system is subject to fraud. So somebody's always going to find a way to scam the system. You know, and I think we have an obligation. But the point I made to Chris is these folks are coming here and they're sucking up all of our resources. To say the president's slowing things down is, to me, absurd. You know, the whole process is slowing things down. The simplest answer is if I catch you crossing the fence in my backyard to steal apples off my tree, I just pick your little fanny up off the ground and put you back on your side of the fence. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the easiest way to deal with the problem?
Well, there's not a fence. I guess that relates all the way back to the wall. So,
but seriously, isn't that the simplest and easiest solution?
Deport individuals? I guess you have to process them,
though.
It's
not deporting them. It's, you know, you stepped across my land. You're on my property now. Get off my property.
I guess it's not that easy. I know you and I can say that's easy, but I guess it's not that easy if you find somebody in the U.S.
Well, I mean, hand them a little card that say the port of entry. If you wish to claim asylum, there is a port of entry at this location. Please go there.
Well, are we talking asylum or are we talking... You know, illegal immigrants coming here for
Well, I'm just saying that the note I would give them is say, if you wish to claim asylum, I'm not saying that you deserve it, but if you wish to claim it, here's where you go.
I think they're probably half knowledgeable on all these topics.
I'm sure they are when you find young adult men coming into the country with children that they admit aren't theirs. There's definitely a problem.
Is that pretty common?
According to the border officials that I saw on TV the other day, it's not unheard of, and it's a fairly frequent occurrence.
Okay, so 1%, 2%?
I don't know, but it's still scamming the system. I mean,
right.
It's making it more difficult
Scammers.
For those people who have a legitimate reason to want to come to this country.
Well, why don't we have the House and the Senate get together and pass some comprehensive immigration reform
now there's
and
a thought.
Fund the wall?
There's a thought. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if Congress did its job? I'm
tomorrow.
In favor of that. I support Congress doing its job.
Tomorrow, is the president fomenting violence when it comes to Ilhan Omar and their tweets back and forth at each other? I would submit to you, she's lowered the bar as well on this topic, so we can talk about that tomorrow.
All right, I think we shall.
Joe McGranahan, Rob Center, so fabulous, we just can't get over it. He's the fabulist. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury, 10 o'clock.